Last Sabbath, we had the first part of my message, which was entitled A Review of Appointed Days, Part 1. And today we would like to go with the conclusion of that, Part 2, Review of Appointed Days. And I'd like to go to my scripture reading to you to give a foundation for this. In Leviticus 23 and the first verse, the Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, The Lord's appointed times, which ye shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, for the ones that are here. We ask your blessings on each one of them and their families. Lord, help us to search the truths and help us to abide in those truths. And Lord, we give praise and honor and glory to you for all things. And bless the rest of this service and each thing that's done. In the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask these things and amen. And my text was the first two verses of that Leviticus 23. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, The Lord's appointed times, which ye shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these. And I'd like to say to you, it's all a matter of words, but you are the sons of Israel. You are God's family. And as such, we are subject to all of the promises, all of the things that God did for his children of all ages, God will do for you. And just as he provided their needs at all times in their life, so will he you. And through your belief in Jesus Christ, you become literally as the sons of Abraham. So we serve the same God as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so these appointed days are just as much for us as they were for them. And in essence, what is it? God is saying we have appointment dates. I want you each year to know that I've given you an appointment time, and it is with me personally. And it is in the place in which I choose to establish my name. And this is that place. And so we meet together on the occasions that God calls his appointed days. And we meet at the times that he set forth to do that. Last Sabbath, we reviewed over the first five. We started with speaking of the Sabbath and including that as one of God's appointment days, and surely it is. Every seventh day, every weekly Sabbath, Saturday, God says you have an appointment with him at the place in which he chooses to establish his name. And then we go to Passover, first festival day in the spring. I refer to it as a festival day. It's a day of remembrance, and that's what we do. Remember the Passover, the Lord's Supper, if you prefer for it to be called that, one and the same. The third was The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which goes, of course, hand in hand with Passover, same time, immediately following the day of Passover. And then the seventh day of unleavened bread is a holy day to God, and we list it separately. And then Pentecost, the 50th day. And of course, these are the spring holy days, appointment days that you have with God. You know exactly what they are. You know exactly when they are. And one of the very best places that you can go in the Bible that explains a review and everything in general is Leviticus chapter 23. And so if you ever want to review that on your own, be sure to remember that particular place. There's several other places that records this. And of course, we get little glimpses of different things from the different places. But we ended last Sabbath speaking of Pentecost. And so after Pentecost, Pentecost is sort of the middle point, more or less, between the spring holy days of God and the fall festivals or holy days that we have appointment days to meet with God. To let him know that we want to abide in his truth. We recognize him as our heavenly Father, and we recognize Yeshua as his only begotten Son. And so whatever they put forth in the holy word of God for us to do and remember of them, that's what we want to do. And being obedient to all of their commands, all the truth. If it's possible to have all the truth and abide in the truth and do the truth, then that's what we want to strive to do. So after Pentecost, usually being in the neighborhood of our fellowship meeting every year, usually being sometime in the neighborhood of May, then after that, we go into the first of the fall festivals or holy days or appointment days. And the first of those is trumpets. And what we're trying to do is review these appointed days so that we know what they are, what they're referred to as, when they occur, and what God intended for us to remember about him, what God did for his people on these particular occasions. Not only what he did in the past, what the implications are right now with these different appointed days, but also the glorious future time and future implications of these appointed days. And in the festival of trumpets, we find, first of all, that trumpets is observed on the first day of the seventh month. And that is God's holy month, seventh month. And that always occurs around the last of September, October, along in there. So at the Festival of Trumpets, as you might know, I'm sure that everybody has been exposed to a trumpet and hearing the sound of the trumpet, and it's just as if you thought about it, and you thought, why would God use a trumpet in his plan? Well, if you've ever heard the sound of a trumpet, you would know it's pretty hard to blow a trumpet with a low volume, softly. Very hard to blow a soft trumpet. So you might gather from that, obviously, God is wanting to call us to attention. He's wanting to get our attention at that festival. For what reason? Many. but for the reasons of the things to occur in the appointed days, not only at trumpet, but what follows. The fall appointment days and holy days after trumpets. It's an announcement. It's saying, God is saying, let me have your eyes and your ears. Come to attention. Hear what I've got to say. It's observed on the first day of the seventh month. The scripture lets us know that it is an assembly day. A day that the Bible speaks of it as a holy convocation. That means assembly day. You're expected to come to the place in which God chooses to establish His name and give remembrance and give due honor and praise and glory to Him, remembering all the things that He's done for the people of the past and will do for us, is doing for us now, and the things that await us in His future for us as one of His sons or daughters in His family. It's assembly day. It speaks of no work being done, just as any Sabbath day. It also is a high Sabbath, being not weekly. It is a special Sabbath, an appointed day Sabbath. The Bible speaks of the Festival of Trumpets, and one of the particular things that it is implied is that, and is spoken of in His Word, is that it is a day for the blowing of trumpets. And so when we observe that day here, we make special attention to blowing the shofars that we have. In a sense, some people think of the shofar as the trumpet, but in essence, they are two different things used, at least in part, for different occasions. And the two silver trumpets is separate from the shofar. But it is a day for the blowing of trumpets with implications of God's reminders for us. Next, on this day, we think of the Festival of Trumpets by knowing that God used this special instrument. It is an ancient instrument used for mass communication, just like you would think of your computer today and posting, sending out emails or whatever. It can reach by using the internet. You can reach people just in a matter of minutes all over the world. So the trumpet was that means anciently for this mass communication. If you can imagine one man up on a hillside or a mountain sounding a certain specific sound with a trumpet, and then somebody's on multiple other mountains or hills being there waiting for that sound, and then them blowing that same message, that same sound, on throughout all the countryside. And one particular reason would be to call the assembly, to call people of responsibility to a particular area, like the temple in Jerusalem. Perhaps to call the soldiers to get them together, the men that are age and able ready to meet the enemy, and alert to them to come to a specific spot. So you see, it's was an instrument for mass communication. It also was God's means of getting our attention. And certainly that's going to be play a part in the future. Trumpets is an indication, implication of God's call to watch for and to listen and to expect Yeshua's coming. God Almighty wants us to ever be watchful. The Scriptures lets us know that. Watch and pray and look for His coming. Expect Yeshua's coming. And also, this time of the trumpet, as you would just think about the different implications, it is the time of the second coming of Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth. So we certainly expect this trumpet time period of the year to be pretty closely related to the time that's spoken of in Revelation, where you have seven trumpets sounding for different things and what you might expect would happen at the seventh and last great trumpet. I expect Yeshua to break the clouds and to come back to this earth for His people that are ready for Him. And so, get the connection of trumpets. Look for, be aware, expect His coming, and be ready for His coming. You know, all through God's Word, it speaks of and uses the expression, the day of the Lord. Have you read that many times? And even places where it speaks of the great and terrible day of the Lord. You know, that day is coming. Trumpets is part of that. Trumpets is part of Yeshua coming back to this earth for us, for His family, for the ones that are ready and that are looking for Him. Revelation 19 and 11 reads, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war." That is Jesus Christ. And He is going to be coming on a white horse. And in Revelation 19 and 16, "And on His robe and on His thigh He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And you know there's only one that would ever fit that description. In Revelation 19 and 19, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against Him who sat on the horse and against his armies. And when you read God's Word and you read the prophecies concerning the second coming of Yeshua, then you know this is speaking of this time period. This is speaking of at the end of the tribulation period, at the end of the 7 years in which you have all kind of atmospheric disturbances, all kind of afflictions, bad things happening to this earth and to people on this earth. At the end of that tribulation period, that's when we can look for Yeshua to come back. That's also when we can look for a great and terrible time on this earth in which the nations of this earth, and its word actually says, God will gather all the nations of this earth at Jerusalem. And this is the point of time at the end of that tribulation period. that you can expect that Yeshua is going to come, the dead in Christ is going to rise to meet him in the air. Notice I said dead in Christ, not otherwise, and shortly after, the living in Christ will rise and they all meet in the air. Then the scriptures let us know that Yeshua, along with the ones that he has planned for that, comes down, his feet sets down on a mountain in Jerusalem. The mountain splits, a great valley is opened up, and then all the things Yeshua fights against, the armies that come and that are gathered by Yahweh at Jerusalem. And you can just imagine what a great and terrible day that is for many people. But for the ones that are ready, for God's family, it's going to be a wonderful day of gathering to him and of helping him in the things that he has planned for mankind and for his family and the rest of the future after that. That was the Festival of Trumpets, with some of its implications and symbols and pictures. Some of the things that God wants us to remember at that particular time. And next is the Festival of Atonement. That's right after that, the first day is the trumpets, and then we go to atonement, and it's on the 10th day of the 7th month. It's the only commanded fast day of the year, fast day, no eat, no drink, 24-hour period, sunset the previous day to sunset on that day of atonement. An assembly day by God's word, no work, a high Sabbath, a perpetual statute. In Leviticus 16 and 17 says that it is a Sabbath of solemn rest. And again, every Sabbath, whether high Sabbath or weekly Sabbath, is a Sabbath of rest, no work. A ram's horn specifically is spoken of as being used to call the assembly at this Day of Atonement. A blood sacrifice is required as atonement for sins. Always has been, always is, now. Your sins are atoned for as you call on God and as you accept his plan of salvation of Yeshua, his only begotten Son, dying for you. The blood sacrifice was paid for you. Just as important for you now as it was for 2,000 years ago. And just as important if time were to go on 2,000 years in the future from now. Atonement, forgiveness of sins, is required to become acceptable to God. The plan of salvation leads to atonement for sins. Faith leads to atonement for sins. Revelation 20, and in the verses 1 through 3, when you read that, you read that Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And this is part of what we want to think about on the Festival of Atonement, is that Yeshua died to pay that one and only sacrifice for the ones that call on him and believe in him and ask forgiveness of their sins. He is and was and always will be our sacrifice. And during that time, after God gets our attention at trumpets, and we become alert and aware of what's going to come afterwards, then we see that the Festival of Atonement. In essence, we think of Satan being bound. In essence, as we hold on to salvation and Yahweh and Yeshua, and we walk in the things that they have us to believe, accept the truths, be obedient, walk in the path, then Satan has no power over us. Satan is powerless as you call on God, as you call on Yahweh for your help. God is much more powerful than Satan. And you always need to remember that. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And this is that millennial period. This is that period right after Jesus comes back this next time. And he enters into that 1,000-year period in which the scripture lets us know that we will rule and reign with Yeshua on this earth, and Satan will be bound. Why? Because God wants it that way. Because that's his plan. That's what is set forth as this particular time period. Now we go to the next festival, and it's the Festival of Tabernacles. And some people also call this booze. And I think some of the Bibles refer to it as booze. It means a hut, a tent, a temporary dwelling place. Specifically, when the children of Israel was delivered from their slavery bondage in Egypt and was led back to the promised land, they had to make temporary dwelling places through the whole 40 years that it took them to get back to the promised land, Canaan. They had to live in these booths. And so this is part of God's plan for us to remember him, to go to him, for us to turn our thoughts to him, because he delivered his children on that particular time period in the year. And we're to remember that just as he delivered them, he is there for us to call on, depend on, rely on, to answer our prayers, to deliver us from whatever is holding us down or whatever is afflicting us, whatever our problems are. We're to go to him just like the people of Israel did at that time. So it's observed on the right after atonement. Trumpets is the first day of the seventh month. Atonement is the tenth day. And then the starting of the seven-day celebration of tabernacles or booths starts on the 15th day of the month. The scripture lets us know that the crops of the land, including grapes, should have been gathered by the 15th. And you know how God's plans are. He has them occurring exactly when he wants you to turn your thoughts and your minds to him. And certain of these days are Sabbath days, no work days, no harvesting of crops or grapes. And so we see that the word also speaks of this first day of tabernacles as an assembly day. No work, a high Sabbath, a perpetual statute. The 21st, the 15th, is the first day of booths or tabernacles. It lasts 7 days. So the 21st is the last day of tabernacles. Israel is delivered by Yahweh from Egyptian slavery and hard bondage. That's part of what your thoughts and your remembrances need to be. Even though this was the children of Israel. The children of Israel you should think of as your brothers and sisters. They are the people that God initially called. That nation, that people. And I guarantee you, He has a love for them that will never die. I guarantee you, if somebody's telling you that God turned His back on Israel or on the Israeli people, including the Jews or whatever, any of the 12 or 13 tribes of Israel with its people, anybody tells you that God's turned His back on them, He doesn't listen to them, or He still doesn't love them, that's not true. You need to go to God's Word and know God would never turn His back on His people, Israel. God had all the native born of Israel to live in booths on their journey back to the promised land from Egypt. And in this time, we're to think of Yahweh dwells with Israel personally during this complete journey. He went and protected them from behind. He protected them and guided them from in front. He was with them during this whole journey. Yahweh guides, provides, and protects during this entire event. Deuteronomy 16, 14, and 15, you shall rejoice in your feast, or in your festival. I like the word festival. The King James Version uses feast. One and the same. The Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. And this is speaking of all the people that was in their towns. And it specifically names out the Levites, the stranger that is with them, the orphan, the widow. Everyone will be rejoiceful together. At this time of the year, at the Festival of Tabernacles, most scholars, knowledgeable scholars, agree that Yeshua was born and dwells as a human flesh and blood. 2,000 approximate years ago, Yeshua was born and lived His 33 and a half years on this earth. This is also for us to remember that Yeshua dwells one day with the family of God for 1,000 years. And judgment is spoken of as being given to the family of God at this time. We're now going into the last of the fall festivals, and that's spoken of as the eighth day. It's observed on the 22nd day of the seventh month. Notice I said tabernacles or booths ends on the 21st day of the seventh month of God's calendar year. On that very next day, the 22nd day of the seventh month, is when we observe the eighth day. It's an assembly day, no work, a high Sabbath day, and the Word lets us know it's a solemn assembly. The eighth day appears connected and yet not connected to tabernacles. And how is that? Well, just think of how it's referred to in God's Word. It says eighth day. There's got to be 7 days that come before that. And the ones that came before that was tabernacles or booths. So you see how some people would connect it to that. Even though we know tabernacles ended on the 21st day, 7 days. So yet So it's connected yet not connected for God's purposes and reasons. It's also known as the last great day. But when you look in your Bible, you're likely to see it as the eighth day. This day is not the last day of tabernacles. This day, more accurately, is for God's purposes and for our remembrances. We should think of it as the last great day. A natural progression from tabernacles. That is, it represents a point in the future that all of God's children move from a temporary dwelling into a permanent one. Praise Yahweh. For that, He has glorious plans for His people. A day beyond tabernacles. That is, a day beyond the natural. The eighth day was the day of circumcision for all male children of the sons of Israel, as was Jesus, John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul. Yahweh and Yeshua dwell with the family of God forever and ever. Do you see how wonderful that is? Do you see how joyful you should look at this time period in the year that we can turn our thoughts to one day? God's plan is that we all be all in one. Unity, harmony, agreement. Yeshua, Yahweh, and the family of God, all together, forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. These are the things we're to remember as being connected with the last great day, the eighth day, appointed day by God. In Revelation 21, 1 through 5, the first heaven, that's this heaven now. The first heaven and the first earth passes away. A new heaven and a new earth is made. New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven from Yahweh. Death is destroyed. Yahweh makes all things new. Yahweh's words are faithful and true. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. He who overcomes, Yahweh will cause to inherit all things. Yahweh will be his God and he will be Yahweh's son. Revelation 7, 15. Yahweh, listen to this, Yahweh will spread his tabernacle over them. Read your Bible. Think about these expressions like feast days or festival days. The use of the word tabernacle. Revelation 22 and 5. No longer any night. God does away with night. No longer any night. No need of a light. God will illumine them. They will reign forever and ever. Revelation 22 and 12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. It's in your Bible. It's in my Bible. And lastly, I would like to read these to you and let you review them in your own time and place. Deuteronomy 16 and 16, and this is a general scripture, it's not specifically referring to that eighth day or the last great day. Deuteronomy 16 and 16, all males were required to be present for three special occasions during the year: at the festival of unleavened bread, at Pentecost, and at tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. And you can take that however you want, but I look at this as everybody, man, woman, child, all people. That's the way I look at this. Deuteronomy 16 and 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Do you not agree that the Lord your God has blessed you more than you could ever remember or begin to pay him back? If that was the issue, but that's not the issue. God wants you to see that he is a loving, giving God. And he wants you to love him too. And he wants you to be a giving, loving person, both to neighbor and to Almighty Yahweh and his loving son, Yeshua. If you would, stand with me, and I'd like for us to close the service by reading God's blessing for us and our blessing to each other. Let's all read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.